Hey there, what's up? Welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Come on in, make yourself at home. We're going to be hanging out for the next 30 minutes. I'm so glad you could join me on the program today. Today, of course, is a really, really special day. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Annunciation when our Blessed Mother Mary said yes to the angel's invitation to become the mother of the Savior of the world. It's a really big day. And, you know, one of the things that I think is important for us to remember is that, yeah, we absolutely want to look up to Mary. We want to honor her. We want to recognize the incredible courage that it took to say yes without a lot of certainty about the road that was ahead for her. But we also, and I'm going to make this point during the rest of the show, we want to make sure that we are willing to say yes also, not just honor Mary, but to imitate her, because that's what the Lord wants us all to do. That's what Lent is all about. We've got plenty of time to talk about that. I'll look at today's gospel from Daily Mass, and we'll talk about that and how we can do that. It's not as difficult as you might seem. Each one of us, every day, we get the call to say yes to the Lord. How? We'll talk more about it. We're also going to look at today's daily reflection from Give Up Worry for Lent. And I think those two points, Mary's yes and the daily reflection, they're going to tie in nicely together, courtesy of the Holy Spirit. I don't take credit for any of this. I let the Holy Spirit be my program director to decide how this show goes. But I think you'll see that these two points tie in nicely together. Before I go too much further, though, let's pause for a minute and let's think about something really amazing. Wherever we are right now, we are in the presence of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mary, Saint Joseph, all of the other angels and saints, they're with us as well. So wherever you are right now, you are not alone. I think that's a really comforting thought. So let's exercise one of our greatest privileges in life, the ability to turn to our Father in heaven and speak with him. All right, I'm going to do it. You follow me. Let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow, Father in heaven, it's such an incredible honor to be able to speak with you. To speak with you whenever we want. So many times in my life, Father, I realized that I took that privilege for granted. I never really gave it too much thought, but now I understand that you hear me. That you hear me, Father. You are all loving. You are all powerful. You know what we are going through right now. This difficult situation with the coronavirus pandemic. You get it. You are with us, Father. And we turn to you. We turn to you as your children who absolutely are dependent on you. Father, I think sometimes we forget just how much we need. This crisis is making me aware of the fact that everything is a gift from you. I pray for the ability to be thankful for everything that you give me. My eyesight, my speech, the ability to breathe. The opportunity to go out to the store and buy whatever I want. My car, my family. These are all gifts, Father, and I thank you for them. And on behalf of everybody listening to this program, Father, today, I give you thanks for the gifts that they have received as well. Father, please continue to preserve us from any dangers. Physical, spiritual, or emotional. Help us draw closer to you. Help us recognize that you are still in charge. Even though when we turn on the news, we don't see that. We don't get that message that you are still in charge. But Father, when we open up the Bible, we're reminded that you are all powerful. You've got this. We may never figure out everything that you do, and that's okay because you're God and we're not. Help us to trust you more, Father. We pray for those affected by the coronavirus, those who are suffering. We especially lift up our brother Dan Burke, formerly the editor of the National Catholic Register, a really, really good guy who is struggling for his life right now. Father, we ask you to have mercy on Dan. Grant him your healing. We pray for peace for his family and friends. We pray for anyone who is suffering from this disease right now. We pray for those who are overcome by anxiety, who are troubled or worried. Help them all to be filled with your supernatural peace, Father, We pray for our doctors, our nurses, those on the front lines as first responders. We pray for all of our priests, our religious, our deacons, who are out there trying to minister to us, the flock. We pray for our president. We pray for our country. We pray for an end, Father, to this coronavirus. We know you can do it. We ask that you let it happen soon. Father, finally, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. Give me the words so that I can speak your message. And please open our minds and our hearts to be able to hear and respond to what you have to say. And we ask this, Father, in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, getting ready to get started with the program. Thank you again for joining me on Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek. Ah, beverage du jour. I forgot about this today. Remember, this is a longtime feature of my show, even though it's been 2 years since I've done Following the Truth. The beverage du jour was always a big part of the show. Now, I have to tell you, at one time I was a little more creative. I'm not all that creative anymore. I don't have access to some of the finer beverages that and the more unique things. I'm trying to think what one of the most odd things I ever used was. I think it was the time I had some crazy concoction like lemonade, and I threw extra lemons in there, and it got so bitter I could barely speak. A really brilliant idea for a guy who does a radio show, right? But anyway, you're encouraged to bring your beverage, your snack, whatever you want. I just don't provide that. You understand that, right? I give you the table. We chat. I have a chair for you. You bring your own snacks. I don't snack on the air because I'm the guy doing the talking. That doesn't really work out. But I do partake in my beverage today. It's a cup of warm tea. I know, not the most exciting thing, but you know what? It works. That tastes good. That really, really gets me going. So anyway, that was a big feature of Following the Truth for so many years. It's amazing when I would give talks and people would come to see me and they'd say, hey, I love the beverage. And people were getting to the point where they were bringing me these unusual sodas and stuff at my speaking gigs. It was kind of interesting. So anyway, you know why I do that? Because I want you to know that we are just regular people hanging out and talking about Jesus. We don't get enough of that in the world today. I think so many times we think that church is a Sunday thing. And look, I did that for many years. I was also miserable. I also didn't have the peace that Jesus talks about in the Gospels. He's real. And I know we're getting a lot of new listeners. Not everyone is Catholic, and praise God for that. I'm glad. You're welcome here. We use the Bible extensively on this program, so I think you're going to like it. When I talk about our Blessed Mother Mary today on the show, I'm going to be reading from Scripture. So if you are an evangelical or a Protestant, or even if you don't believe in God, I am so grateful that you're listening to the show. Let's hang out. I'm still going to pray for you. I ask you to pray for me. Together, we can really get through this difficult time. We really can. But Jesus is real. And I've learned that in my life. He gives me a great deal of peace, even though I am an anxious person. My nature is to be anxious and to be a worrier. But you know, if you've followed me to any degree, I've written extensively about overcoming worry. I'm known as the worry guy. I was just talking to somebody else today on the phone who wanted me to do a online conference talking about moving from fear to faith. And she said to me, "You're the worry guy." And I said, "I know. The Lord's been training me for a lot of years to do this. I am honored to be in that position." And I will tell you, as somebody who has had panic attacks and who has this tendency to be anxious, not as somebody who is just speaking theory, I've lived this. I still live it. You can experience peace. The deal is you just got to hang out with Jesus every day. Let this show be a start. That's why I wanted to revive this show. And through your generosity and your donations, you're enabling me to get this program back on the air. Thank you, because people need to hear this good news. Today we're going to look at, I want to start with a reading from Give Up Worry for Lent, which is my book, 40 Days to Finding Peace in Christ. There's a great Bible verse that I want to key on today. Before we do that, I just want to direct you to my website. If you need more information, followingthetruth.com is the place to go to find out about me, to find out about my books, to find out how to bring me into your parish once things settle down or your conference and have me speak. Also, to connect with me, if you just want to shoot me an email, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, so this is day 29 of Give Up Worry for Lent. The title of this daily reflection is Do You Trust God? That's a good one, isn't it? Do you trust God? And the verse is this. It comes from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Let's talk a little bit about trusting God. You know, Jesus came to earth to make God known. That's why he came. The Father sent Jesus to earth to live among us, to walk among us, and ultimately to suffer and die for us. But while he was here, he only had 3 years of public ministry. Jesus was the human face of the unseen God or the unknown God. He made him known to us. Now, we're living 2,000 plus years after Christ has died. So we look back and I should say 2,000 plus years after Christ was born and died, we look back now and we say, of course, Jesus, he represents the Father. He's the Father's, the image of the Father. He's here to draw us to the Father and all that. But before the time of Christ, God was, he was somewhat impersonal. He wasn't as accessible and known as he is today. And that's because of Jesus. We can look at Jesus and see the Father. We know Jesus, we know the Father. That's why Jesus came. He wants you to know that God loves you. He wants you to know that he's in this with you. He wants you to know that he knows what's going on during this coronavirus mess, this crisis, this complete upending of our comfort and our lifestyle, right? It blindsided me too. I got most of my speaking engagements for Lent canceled. Many people are out of work right now. Many people are fighting for their lives in hospitals. Many people are quarantined in their homes, scared to death to go out. God got our attention with this one. And I'll continue to say that. This is a wake-up call. I mean, I think there's wake-up calls every day. Every time you look at an obituary on the internet or in the paper, that's a wake-up call. But we often ignore these signs. Well, God's speaking really clearly now. And in his mercy, he's not just wiping us out. Isn't that great? I mean, think about that. It's one of the good things that has come out of this for me. And I talked about this the other day on the program. I was taking things like going to Mass for granted. I was taking for granted the fact that I could go to the store and buy toilet paper. I was taking for granted that I could just go out and do what I want. I took for granted Lent. I mean, every year I'd go into Lent saying, this is what I am going to do for Lent. I was in control, or else at least the Lord let me think that I was in control. Now things are different. And he's saying to me, hey, Gary, you're not in control. I'm in control. And you know what? I'm glad. I'm not glad that this all is happening. I wish it could have been done another way. But I'm going to do what I can to benefit from this and try to change my life, which is the purpose of Lent. So this Bible verse from the prophet Isaiah, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. In order to, we're all looking for peace. Every one of us wants to experience peace in life. We want to get that peace of mind. Right now, there's not a lot of that going around. How do we get that? Well, if we look at this verse, the secret to getting peace in life is to keep our focus on the Lord. To keep our focus on the Lord, that's how we are going to obtain peace in life. At some point in time, you've got to turn the news off. You've got to stop browsing the internet. You got to stop listening to the so-called experts who are telling us how long this coronavirus is going to last, how many people are going to die, what could happen next. They might be informed. These people might have credentials. They might be able to make educated guesses. But it's still speculation because a lot of them are disagreeing with one another. Only God knows what's going to happen. And I think the secret to experiencing peace is to be able to focus on the unchanging God. How do we do that? By looking at Jesus. We read about him in the Gospels. We encounter him in prayer. This is the way that we are able to get to know Jesus and keep our focus on him. And when we do that, then we're not going to be distracted by the people who are speculating about what might happen. When we do that, when we keep our focus on him, we're going to be more peaceful. We're also going to be doing what we were supposed to be doing in the first place, putting him first in our lives. That's what Jesus said. You know, we've been hearing this in church for years. I can't tell you how many years I've ignored this message. Yes, I now am in full-time ministry. I've been doing that for 8 years. I had a major conversion in 2004. That's true. But this conversion is an ongoing process for me. And it should be for you too. It's really for all of us. Every day, we should be looking at ourselves. And this is done with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, looking internally and seeing things that need to change. We, believe it or not, have many idols in our lives. The idol of television, the idol of the internet, the idol of possessions, the idol of fame, the idol of comfort. You know, we like to be comfortable. We don't like to suffer or be inconvenienced. And I'm guilty of that. I really am. But Jesus said to us that if you're going to follow me, you have to leave things behind. That doesn't mean you can't have possessions. That doesn't mean you don't have a family. No, it means that you have your priorities straight, and he's number one. And until you do that, you're never going to have peace, and you're never going to be doing his will. We'll talk about Mary in a few minutes. Mary said, I'm the handmaid or the servant of the Lord. Whatever he says, count me in. Let it be done to me according to your word. You know, if you have that attitude, that means you're never going to complain no matter what happens to you. I know, look, that's radical, isn't it? And I've got a long way to go there, but it's something to really think about. And so if you want peace, you really need to keep your focus on the Lord, and you need to be able to do what this verse says and trust in him. Oh, wait a minute, Gary, you got to be kidding. How can I trust in him? I'm scared to death. My world is spiraling out of control. My 401k is in the down the toilet. How am I supposed to trust in him? Well, it's a conscious decision. See, that's the thing about trust. Trust isn't a feeling. Trust doesn't depend on having good, warm, and fuzzy feelings. Trust is a decision. I choose to trust in the Lord. Oh, man, how do we do that? Well, again, it's tough because we're not used to it. And when you're going through something like this, you've got a golden opportunity. Because you've been stripped. A lot of your idols have been stripped away from you right now. So we have that chance to say, all right, my future now appears uncertain. Guess what? It always was uncertain, but it just seems that way more now. We're really aware that we don't have that much control. So now we have that chance to say, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. What if you don't feel it? Jesus, I trust in you. We can choose to trust even when we are scared to death, even when we don't think he knows what he's doing. I know that sounds crazy, but we think those thoughts. And guess what? He knows what we're thinking. Let's be honest. So don't try to hide it from him. Say that. Say, Jesus, this is insane. I don't get what you're doing. This seems nuts to me. But Jesus, I choose to trust in you. You know, it's funny, as I'm saying that, I'm looking at a crucifix on my wall. Talk about something that appeared to make no sense to the human mind. Come on, God the Father, couldn't there have been an easier way to do it than that? I mean, let's get real. But see, that's why God's ways are not our ways. They're different. He really is a lot smarter than we are. But this is something that develops gradually, this feeling of trust. You know, you start with making the conscious decision to trust, and then you begin to have this feeling of confidence in Jesus after you put your trust in him, after you make the decision. This is what I've seen this in my life. I trust him more now than I did maybe 1 or 2 years ago. I trust him more, I think, than I did yesterday. That's the way it should work, but it's a gradual process, and it takes time. But it all begins with making that conscious decision to say, even though I don't know what's happening in the future, I'm going to take a chance and trust you. And I suggest, I really urge you to do that today. You could say those words, Jesus, I trust in you, even though the future looks very uncertain right now. I trust, Lord, that you will bring good out of this coronavirus and that you can end it. And then you go ahead and you pray for an end to the coronavirus. It's okay to do that. You are allowed to pray for what you think you need. The Lord wants you to do that. But that trust is so important. And if you feel like you can't say those words, Jesus, I trust in you, then at least say, Jesus, I wish that I could say that I trust in you. And that's a prayer. See, that gives the Lord an opening to come into your heart. Pray for everything. I'm telling you, pray for everything. I am the biggest coward that you could ever imagine. I am not a risk taker. I'm scared of my own shadow sometimes. And yet, when I felt the call to go into full-time ministry, I literally had to get kicked out of the boat. I mean, I wasn't going to make this move on my own. But over and over throughout my life, I'm looking at a dwindling bank account. I've got a family to support. And yet, the Lord has always managed to come through for me. But boy, we have cut it close sometimes. That's how you grow in faith. Take it from me, it is possible to be at peace and to trust Jesus, but you gotta take that first step. So I'm going to encourage you to do that today. With that in mind, let's look at the gospel from today's Mass for the solemnity of the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel appeared to the Blessed Mother and gave her some astonishing news and an incredible offer. It comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of a greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is an incredible gospel passage. I don't have time to really get into all the details, but I just want to highlight a few things here. When you are afraid, see, here's the thing. Sometimes people associate fear and worry and think they're the same thing. They are absolutely not. Fear is an emotion. Fear is a feeling. You cannot control your feelings. So if you are afraid, you are not doing anything wrong. Now, we can get into the specifics at some point, and maybe I'll do a show on that, of, yeah, there are times when we are afraid for not a good reason. We really shouldn't be afraid. But for the most part, fear is just a feeling. What counts is what you do with that fear. And I present the example of the Blessed Mother. Here's somebody who was conceived without original sin, who never sinned in her life, and yet she is afraid here when the angel appears to her. And we could tell that because the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary." So therefore, she was afraid. Now, don't get confused. Sometimes I've heard people looking at this particular story and saying that Mary was afraid because she didn't know what would lie ahead for her. She was afraid that she wouldn't be able to handle becoming the mother of the Savior. The Bible does not say that's why she was afraid. If we look at this carefully, she was greatly troubled at what was said. That's what the Bible tells us. What was said by the angel? "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." That's it. That's why Mary was afraid. Why was she afraid? It could have been humility. She didn't feel worthy because she knew, Mary knew Scripture, so Mary understood that for an angel appear to her and say that she is full of grace and that the Lord is with her, she knew that there was something coming, some important mission for her. And remember, Mary's not God. She's not divine. So she needs to process this. And the initial reaction is fear. She wasn't afraid when she was told that she was going to become pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. and deliver the Savior. That's not what the Bible says. Mary was afraid just at the appearance of the angel and his initial words. And if you notice here, sometimes we think, well, Mary had no choice. Mary did have the choice. Mary could have said no. She had free will. The angel gave her a chance to accept the mission, to become the mother of the Savior. And how did Mary respond? Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. You know what kind of trust that involves? And that's why today I'm asking you to say those words, Jesus, I trust in you. Lord, your will be done. Because the Lord can make things or allow things to happen in our lives. He can uproot all of our comfort, right? He could send this, he could allow this coronavirus thing to take place. I'm not saying he caused it, but he certainly is allowing it to happen. But the one thing he cannot do is change your free will, take away your free will. He chooses not to, and make you accept it. Only you can say, Jesus, I trust in you. Only you can freely accept all the craziness going on right now. So will you do that today? I'm telling you, if you do, you're going to have lots of peace. Jesus, I trust in you. Just give that a try and see what happens, okay? Imitate the Blessed Mother on this special day, the Solemnity. All right, I am just about out of time. This is fun. I love doing the show. Thank you for listening. Do me a favor. Let people know that Following the Truth is back on the air after a two-year hiatus. You can catch it on Blog Talk Radio. It's also available in all of the traditional podcast outlets, Podbean and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and all kinds of places, all right? iTunes, followingthetruth.com is the place to go for more information about my work. Please don't forget, I need your donations to keep this program on the air. You can do that securely by going to followingthetruth.com. All right, thank you so much. You're wonderful. Connect with me through the website as well. Until we meet again, remember, say those words today. Jesus, I trust in you. He's going to give you his peace if you do that. God bless you. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Talk to you next time.